This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
72 degrees in Chapel Hill Carborough, 70 in Hillsborough. Mostly sunny out there right now. Partly sunny later today with a slight chance of afternoon rain. Highs around 90. This is Aaron Keck filling in for Ron Stutz this week as he takes some much-needed time off. Good to be with you this morning. You could see a change in Northside neighborhood as landlords who rent property there are suing Chapel Hill over a parking regulation. Mark Patmore is the owner of Mercia Rental Properties and one of the landlords suing the town. He's challenging a limit put in place by Chapel Hill last fall, limiting the number of cars that can be parked in front of Northside properties. That limits it to 4 vehicles per resident. Duplexes and triplexes are allowed up to 6 vehicles, according to the regulation, and renters can get 5 street parking permits per lease. A state superior court has already denied the motion to get rid of Chapel Hill's rule, but Patmore says that is expected, and the case needs to go to the state Supreme Court because it's a state-level issue.
That authority comes from the state, so that's where it belongs, which will be not in Superior Court or appeals, but in Supreme.
Benjamin Sullivan, on the other side, is the attorney with Parker Poe Adams and Bernstein LLP, who's representing Chapel Hill in this case. He says there's precedent for even the state Supreme Court to side with towns when it comes to parking restrictions.
Towns and counties have had parking regulations in one form or another, and those have been challenged based on the idea that they were beyond the authority of the local government that adopted them. And our Court of Appeals and our Supreme Court have said, no, those are regulations that are within the zoning powers that local governments have in North Carolina.
Sullivan adds that although parking is not included in the zoning statutes, it's still within a town's legal authority to make regulations like the one in the case of Northside.
The zoning statutes are intentionally very general. They're a pretty broad grant of authority, and it's up to the town, cities, and counties to decide which regulations are appropriate.
Patmore says Chapel Hill's restrictions on parking not only hurt him as a landlord, but also force visitors to homes in Northside into an unsafe situation where they have to park away from the residence and then walk there, possibly alone or at night.
I think every resident in this town has the right to be able to park at their home if they have the place to park.
Part of Chapel Hill's parking limit in Northside was to prevent visitors and others from parking on lawns and crowding yards and streets. Hudson Vaughn is the associate director of Northside's Community Development Center, the Jackson Center. He says that before the parking limit was put in place, there was a high volume of cars being parked on Northside properties.
It felt in the neighborhood like a lot of the front and back yards of houses were turning into basically parking lots.
Now, Vaughn says there are still some parking violations, but overall, the neighborhood looks a whole lot better.
There's like a lot fewer cars, and the cars are often parked more in the back now, and there's tighter regulation that landlords are putting on for front yard parking, for the look of things.
Patmore says when he built rental property in Northside, the town required him to put in a parking area.
I went ahead and constructed that parking area. Now, 10 years later, they're turning around and saying, I did a good job, but now you can't use it.
At trial, Patmore also argued that the fines imposed by the town for the parking violations are unfairly distributed because they go to him and not the residents doing the actual parking itself. Patmore says he passes the fines on to his tenants and includes in his leases that tenants must obey the parking ordinance. Sullivan says that method of fining better enforces the parking limit than directly fining the renters themselves.
The landlords have the ability to regulate what their tenants do better than we can. It's a more effective enforcement mechanism if the property owners are held responsible by the town, because they're in a position where they can have these lease agreements with their tenants and can control what their tenants do.
That's Sullivan's take, but Patmore says he sees it differently.
Is arbitrary and capricious. They're fining the landlord or the owner of the property for something that he absolutely has no control over. I have no control over my tenants when they have visitors over.
Hudson Vaughn says the issue with parking in Northside is symptomatic of property in the neighborhood being over-occupied by student renters.
It's all connected to just the impact that student rentals in particular are having, especially when there are more than 4 students.
Violating the vehicle limit results in a $100 fine from the city with an additional $100 for each day the excess car remains. Well, turning to campus news, the UNC Board of Governors recognized our former Governor James Holzhauser and honored his life with an award in his name at last week's meeting on Thursday and Friday. UNC System President Tom Ross says Holzhauser was a great leader and an influence on many.
This university and our entire state lost a consummate public servant. A source of infinite wisdom and a true statesman this summer with the passing of Governor Jim Holzhauser.
Holzhauser served as governor of North Carolina from 1973 to 1977. He also served on the board of governors for the UNC system for more than 30 years, where many members have said they valued his thoughts and practices.
I always told people that Governor Holzhauser should have been named Mr. E.F. Hutton, because when he spoke, truly, everyone listened. In word and in deed, he personified the true meaning of statesmanship and servant leadership, and our university had no greater friend or stronger ally.
To honor Holzhauser, the Board of Governors voted to change the name of their public service award to the Governor Holzhauser Award for Excellence in Public Service. That award was originally created back in 2007 to encourage, identify, recognize, and reward public service by faculty of the university. Holzhauser exemplified many of the characteristics that the award represents. Board of Governors Chair Peter Hahn says words do not describe the loss of Holzhauser.
President mentioned in his remarks, we lost a giant in June. And a man who epitomizes public service.
The board also recognized another board member that recently passed, Julius Chambers. Chambers was a civil rights attorney for many years, along with serving as chancellor of North Carolina Central University. For more information from last week's Board of Governors meeting, you can visit our website, chapelboro.com. Turning to other news, as the summer draws to a close, high school student athletes are gearing up for competition once again, but the recent tragic deaths of student athletes related to undetected cardiac conditions, including last month a high school football player right here in North Carolina, have prompted schools to focus even more on preventing these tragic events. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
At the high school level, really making sure we're looking at those physicals and talking to kids about any problems that they may be having and things that our athletic directors and coaches are really good at honing in on, things that add to different kinds of health issues.
That's Scarlett Steinert, coordinator of Healthful Living and Athletics for the Chapel Hill Carrboro City School System. She says the system has policies and procedures in place to help spot warning signs of cardiac problems before the student athlete can take to the field or court.
The most important thing I think that we have done here in Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools is that we have full-time trainers in our high schools. And our trainers talk to our students and educate them about current issues.
The system also follows guidelines set forth by the North Carolina High School Athletic Association. Steinert says a student has to undergo and pass one physical every year with a physical form that is mandated statewide. During the physical, doctors will ask a series of questions to identify if the child has symptoms related to a heart condition such as significant shortness of breath, dizziness, and/or chest pain. If the child has those symptoms, it is an immediate red flag and the doctor will recommend further testing. She also suggests that the student athletes have a family physician who are familiar with their medical history.
Really what to look for if there's any changes in an athlete. If you've never had headaches and you have a headache, how important it is to seek medical attention, whether it be letting mom or dad know, hey, this is happening, or letting a trainer know, or letting your doctor know.
Evan Raines, a 16-year-old junior defensive end from Fayetteville, collapsed on the football practice field on August 3rd and later died. The Fayetteville Observer reported that Raines' father said hospital officials told him that his son died of cardiac arrest, though questions still surround his death. Ronald Roos, a South Carolina teenager, died of cardiac arrhythmia suddenly during his homecoming football game last October. He was a week short of his 18th birthday. Dr. Julie Monaco, medical director for the Orange County Health Department, explains that incidents like this make it even more critical for children to have a sports physical, which is more thorough than just a well child check. She says all children who are physically active, not just a high school student athlete, are encouraged to undergo them annually.
We do specific screening questions of the patient to risk stratify the patient for cardiac-related issues. The main cardiac-related issue that we tend to focus on and we want to rule out is something called idiopathic hypertrophic cardiomyopathy.
Monaco explains that condition causes a thickening of the heart muscle and affects about 1 in 500 adults. She says it is more prevalent in males and affects athletes who play high-intensity sports such as basketball and football. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
WCHL News Time is 7:16. Time now for our first look this hour at traffic and weather together. This traffic report is brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. Whether you need a new watch, battery, an engagement ring, or that custom piece you've been dreaming of, Grimble Jewelers is there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jewelers in the Village Plaza next to Whole Foods. Now with your traffic report, here's WCHL News Director Rand Northam.
Thank you very much, Aaron. Still moving smoothly out on the roadways right now, I-40, 15501, NC-54, and the Durham Freeway. No accidents, no delays at this time. If you see anything as you travel, though, throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
All right. Thank you very much, Rand. We'll see you later.
All right.
And to weather report, time now to move along to traffic report, rather. Time now to move along to your weather report. This one brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Stop in for a quick lunch and select from 8 juicy smoked meats and fresh sides. Dickie's Barbecue Pit in Durham, just off of Mount Moriah Road. Right now, 72 degrees in Chapel Hill Carborough, 70 in Hillsboro. That temperature has barely moved since I sat down an hour and a half ago. Temperature is going to pick up later today, though. We are going to have highs around 90 degrees. It's going to be another hot one. We've had a hot weekend. It's going to be another hot day to get the week started with temperatures around 90. Heat index even warmer than that, upwards of 100. So be careful out there if you're going to be outside for a long period of time. Going to be partly sunny throughout the day. We will have a 30% chance of rain developing later on in the afternoon. Thunder showers possible, so keep your umbrellas handy. That 30% chance of rain will carry over into the evening hours. We'll have mostly cloudy skies tonight with lows in the lower 70s. Then as we get into the work week, we'll have a chance of rain pretty much every day. The temperature for the day will gradually drop as we get into the middle and the end of the week. So tomorrow we'll have highs not quite topping out around 90, but still hanging out in the upper 80s, and a 60% chance of rain throughout the day with mostly cloudy skies. Thunderstorms likely in the afternoon. Overnight lows down in the upper 60s tomorrow night. And then the cooling trend really picks up as we get into the middle of the week on Wednesday. We'll have partly sunny skies, 40% chance of rain mainly in the morning, and then clearing up a bit in the afternoon. Highs only around 80 for Wednesday, and then it'll be even cooler than that as we get into the end of the week. Thursday, we'll have highs in the upper 70s with a slight chance of rain, about a 20% chance of rain on Thursday. 40% chance of rain on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to end the week and get you through the weekend. Mostly cloudy skies all 3 days and temperatures hanging around the upper 70s. Continuing with local news, you won't see a new charter school in Chapel Hill Carborough this year or next, and the Howard and Lillian Lee school supporters have to start from scratch. According to the Chapel Hill News, a request to delay the school's opening until 2014 was denied by the state's Board of Education. Lee Scholars was originally expected to open back in August of last year, 2012, after receiving approval from the state to fast-track its opening. A 48,000-square-foot building was scheduled to be constructed on a 7-acre parcel of land in Carborough called Claremont South. That property is being developed by Omar Zinn of Parker Lewis LLC, who can't lose. It was recently rezoned from residential only after an approval by the Carborough Board of Aldermen. The school was granted an extension to open this August, but delays in finding a temporary building or developing a permanent one forced the school to seek another extension to next year, 2014. And in March, the school's managing company, National Heritage Academies, announced that it would no longer be overseeing the school. The board of directors for Lee Scholars will now have to start the process over, applying for a new charter. Well, Moral Monday protesters are taking just their second break in the movement, which is now more than 3 months old. Now, Reverend William Barber, the president of the North Carolina chapter of the NAACP, says he's moving on to the next step. That would be coordinating Moral Monday demonstrations in the state's 13 congressional districts. He held the first one last week in Asheville. That attracted thousands. Demonstrations are planned next week, August 19th, in Charlotte, and 350 miles east of that in the coastal community of Manteo. They're also planning protests across the state on August 28th. That is the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights March in Washington, where the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. delivered his famous I Have a Dream speech. Meanwhile, court appearances for the 925 people who were arrested at the legislative building in Raleigh during the Moral Monday demonstrations are still being held. With so many people set to have court appearances, some of the protesters' lawyers say first appearances alone could stretch all the way into 2014. My time now for WCHL Championship Sports. We begin with some track and field news. Shalane Flanagan led the field's pace for nearly half of the race, ultimately placing eighth in the 10,000 meters at the 14th IAAF World Championships yesterday, last evening in Moscow. Shalane Flanagan has had quite a distinguished career already, bronze medalist in the Olympics back in 2008 in Beijing, so quite a few honors for her already in her career. Added to it last night, she ran 31 minutes 34.8 seconds as the highest finishing American, ahead of teammates Jordan Hesse and Amy Hastings, who finished 12th and 14th, respectively. Ethiopian Tirunesh Dibaba regained her crown as the 10,000-meter world champion, though, taking the race in 30 minutes 43.35 seconds. One other Tar Heel competing at those World Championship Games in Moscow, Vikas Gowda, a 2006 Tar Heel alum, competing in the qualification round of the men's discus earlier this morning. We'll get those results for you as soon as we receive them. Well, turning now to NFL news, Carolina Panthers coach Ron Rivera says backup fullback Mike Zordich has torn the ACL in his left knee, and he'll be placed on injured reserve this week. Bad break for Zordich. Rivera made the announcement after last night's practice at Wofford College. Zordich was facing an uphill battle for a spot on the 53-man roster, and adding to that, he was injured in Carolina's preseason game on Friday night against the Chicago Bears. More on that game in just a second, by the way. Rivera also says cornerback James Dockery broke his thumb during that game. He'll need surgery, but he should return in a couple weeks. The team is waiting to hear on the extent of the shoulder injury suffered by backup offensive tackle Bruce Campbell. Rivera also says wide receiver Armonte Edwards strained his hamstring and could miss a few practices, so costly preseason game for the Panthers on Friday. They did win it, though. Josh Norman says he's out to reclaim his starting job. Panthers' second-year cornerback took a step in the right direction on Friday night when he intercepted two passes and returned 160 yards for a touchdown. That ended up making the difference, sparking Carolina to a 24-17 preseason victory over the Bears. Norman did get the start against the Bears, but only because the Panthers open with three cornerbacks on the field. Drayton Florence and Captain Munnerlin have been working as the starters in Carolina's base defense. Norman says he wants to be an every down player. He started the first 12 games of the season last year as a rookie before being benched in December after a rough game against Kansas City. Now he says he set his sights on getting that starting job back, saying, quote, "If not, it's like, what's the point?" The Carolina Panthers victorious in that preseason game on Friday in spite of the injuries that they suffered. 24-17 was the final score, taking on the Chicago Bears. 7:24 is the time here at WCHL Studios. Time now to move forward with
our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Whatever happened to all those colorful college coaches of yore? This is Art Chansky with Monday Sports Notebook. I remember the good old days in the ACC and college athletics when the coaches did not like each other and made no bones about it. Sure, some coaches had some tact, but Stormer Norman Sloan was always needling Dean Smith, and Lefty Dozell once accused a South Carolina player of punching him during a mid-game melee. Even Smith got into it on occasion, once saying that his two black stars, J.R. Reed and Scott Williams, had a higher combined SAT score than Duke's Danny Ferry and Christian Laettner. It was to prove one of his many points about racism. Thought we had one of those good old coaching spats last week when TCU's Gary Patterson zinged the Mad Hatter from LSU, Les Miles, about a decision Miles made on how to treat star running back Jeremy Hill, who had been arrested for simple assault. By the way, the same player who had already been charged with sexual misconduct on a 14-year-old girl, obviously a great kid. Miles said he would let a team vote decide whether Hill would play in the opener against, guess who, TCU. The Horned Frogs' Patterson saw that as a joke it is, when he jumped Miles for the self-serving decision. Of course, the players are going to vote Hill onto the field. They want to win, and having their star back might keep them from losing. But Patterson backtracked the next day when his agent, who happens to be Miles' agent, intervened, and Patterson said he wasn't necessarily talking about the LSU situation, but the policy in general. Well, that's absurd because of who did it, who said it, who's playing who on opening day. I'll tell you, I liked it a lot better when coaches didn't have agents. Who were Sloan's agents? Lefties. Deans. Jim Valvano didn't have an agent. He was his own representative, cutting deals left and right and joking about them along the way. Patterson had blasted Miles because he already suspended his own star, defensive end Devontae Fields, for the first two games for violating team rules. My whole team would have voted Devontae back on the field because they want to win, Patterson said. but that doesn't teach any life lessons. Apparently, the only life lesson Miles wants to teach is winning at all costs, unless, of course, he gets a pang of consciousness or a call from his athletic director. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. What does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall. And PC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim compares national carriers' average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim compares data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
It's summer and we're all spending more time playing sports and enjoying outdoor activities. With that means more injuries, bumps, and bruises. That's why UNC Family Medicine is your one-stop shop for treating injuries. You'll be cared for by the same staff that works with UNC teams and Chapel Hill Carborough school sports. From on-site x-rays to physical therapy, UNC Family Medicine is here. And you can make appointments easily on the web at uncfamilymedicine.org. Just another way that UNC Family Medicine is caring for the course of your life.
Are you looking for a great local deal? Have you checked out our local deal? What are you waiting for? It's as easy as 1, 2, and 3. 1, visit ourlocaldeal.com. 2, enter your email address. And 3, you'll start receiving great daily deals right into your inbox for great local businesses and services. So don't wait. Every day you wait is another great deal you've missed out on. Visit ourlocaldeal.com and sign up today.
There's no price like Half Price, and there's no deal like ourlocaldeal.com.
Coming up at 6:15 tonight here on WCHL, another edition of Your Health featuring Drs. Adam Goldstein and Christy Page breaking down health issues for you. That's immediately following the evening news tonight. Again, 6:15 as they do every Monday. Keep it tuned to WCHL this evening for that. We'll have a full traffic report for you coming up in about 15 minutes, but if you're heading out on the roads right now, I-40 westbound had been a little bit slow moving a couple minutes ago between 15501 and NC86. Looks like things are getting a little bit better now, but still keep an eye out for that if you're headed west on I-40. Time now for a full look at your weather report. This one brought to you by Elmo's Diner. The fun never stops at Elmo's with shakes, burgers, and high chairs for small fries. Voted best breakfast and best kid-friendly by the IndyChapelboro.com and Chapel Hill Magazine as well. Elmo's Diner at Carmel Mall in Carborough. 72 degrees still in Chapel Hill, Carborough. 70 degrees still in Hillsboro. Sunny skies all over the place. It's going to be partly sunny skies for the rest of the day, but we will have clouds moving into the area later on in the afternoon. That'll bring a 30% chance of afternoon rain. Thunder showers pop later in the day. It's going to be a hot one again with highs around 90. Overnight lows down in the lower 70s with that chance of rain continuing. Tomorrow, 60% chance of rain all day with mostly cloudy skies. We'll have thunderstorms likely mainly in the afternoon. Highs a little bit cooler, but not much, in the upper 80s for the day tomorrow. Overnight lows in the upper 60s. Then the cooling trend begins on Wednesday. We'll have highs only around 80 degrees for the day on Wednesday in the middle of the week with a 40% chance of rain, partly to mostly cloudy skies all day. Slight chance of rain for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as well to end the week and get your weekend started. So keep your umbrellas handy pretty much every day for the rest of the week. Once the temperature cools down on Wednesday, it's going to stay that way. Highs from Thursday through Sunday will only be in the upper 70s. 7:31 is the time. Time now for CBS News at the bottom of the hour.
This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live at chapelboro.com. There's an app for that.
CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch. The U.S. Attorney General wants less jail time for some drug crimes. CBS's Jan Crawford reports.
Today, 25% of the world's prison population is in the United States. Almost half are in prison for drug offenses, $80 billion a year is spent on corrections nationwide.
And federal prisons are operating at nearly 40% above capacity. Crawford says under Eric Holder's plan, 9 nonviolent offenders would see shorter sentences or drug treatment programs instead of jail time.
The administration is going to send a memo to U.S. attorneys' offices across the country telling them to change how they charge some of these nonviolent drug crimes. This is a way of getting around federal laws that would otherwise impose some pretty tough mandatory minimum sentences.
In remarks prepared for the American Bar Association, Holder is still expected to back tough penalties for inmates tied to organized crime and gangs. CBS News Update, I'm Heather Bosch.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
7:32, good morning here at WCHL Studios. This is Aaron Keck filling in for Ron Stutz today and all week long as Ron takes some much-needed time off. Good to be with you on this fine Monday morning. You could see a change in the Northside neighborhood as landlords who rent property there are suing Chapel Hill over a parking regulation. Mark Patmore is the owner of Mercia Rental Properties, one of the landlords suing the town as well. He's challenging a limit put in place by Chapel Hill last fall, specifically a limit on the number of cars that can be parked in front of Northside properties, 4 vehicles per residence, 6 vehicles for duplexes and triplexes, and renters can get 5 street parking permits per lease. A state superior court has already denied the motion to get rid of Chapel Hill's rule. Patmore says that's expected, though, and the case needs to go to the state Supreme Court because it's a state-level issue.
That authority comes from the state, so that's where it belongs, which will be not in superior court or appeals, but in Supreme.
Benjamin Sullivan, on the other side of the case, is the attorney with Parker, Poe, Adams, and Bernstein, LLP, who's representing Chapel Hill. He says there is precedent for even the state Supreme Court to side with towns when it comes to restrictions on parking.
Towns and counties have had parking regulations in one form or another, and those have been challenged based on the idea that they were beyond the authority of the local government that adopted them. And our Court of Appeals and our Supreme Court have said, no, those are regulations that are within the zoning powers that local governments have in North Carolina.
And Sullivan adds that although parking is not included in the zoning statutes, it is still within a town's legal authority to make regulations like the one in Northside.
The zoning statutes are intentionally very general. They're a pretty broad grant of authority, and it's up to the town, cities, and counties to decide which regulations are appropriate.
Pat Moore on the other side says that Chapel Hill's restrictions on parking not only hurt him as a landlord, but also force visitors to homes in Northside into an unsafe situation where they have to park away from the residents and then walk there, possibly alone or at night.
I think every resident in this town has the right to be able to park at their home if they have the place to park.
Part of Chapel Hill's parking limit in Northside was to prevent visitors and others from parking on lawns and crowding yards and streets. Hudson Vaughn is the associate director of Northside's Community Development Center, the Jackson Center. He says before the parking limit, there was a high volume of cars being parked on Northside properties.
It felt in the neighborhood like a lot of the front and back yards of houses were turning into basically parking lots.
Now, Vaughn says there are still parking violations, but overall the neighborhood looks a lot better.
There's a lot fewer cars, and the cars are often parked more in the back now, and there's tighter regulation that landlords are putting on for front yard parking, for the look of things.
Pat Moore says when he built rental property in Northside, the town required him to put in a parking area, not much use now.
I went ahead and constructed that parking area. Now, 10 years later, they're turning around and saying, hey, you did a good job, but now you can't use it.
At trial, Pat Moore also argued that the fines imposed by the town for the violations are unfairly distributed because they go to him instead of the residents doing the actual parking. Pat Moore says he passes the fines on to his tenants and includes in his leases that tenants must obey the parking ordinance. Sullivan, however, says this method of fining better enforces the parking limit than directly fining the renters themselves.
The landlords have the ability to regulate what their tenants do better than we can. It's a more effective enforcement mechanism if the property owners are held responsible by the town, because they're in a position where they can have these lease agreements with their tenants and can control what their tenants do.
Pat Moore, however, says he sees it differently.
It's arbitrary and capricious. They're fining the landlord or the owner of the property for something that he absolutely has no control over. I have no control over my tenants when they have visitors over.
Hudson Vaughn says the issue with parking in Northside generally is symptomatic of property in the neighborhood being overoccupied by student renters.
It's all connected to just the impact that student rentals in particular are having, especially when there are more than 4 students in the house.
some buildings going up nearby to try to alleviate that. Violating the vehicle limit results in a $100 fine from the city, with an additional $100 for each day the excess car remains. Well, turning quickly to national news, an Obama administration report says the cost of weather-related power outages is rising as storms grow more severe and the U.S. electric grid gets older. That report calls for increased spending on the nation's electrical power system. Power outages cost $18 to $33 billion a year, according to the report. That's a figure that has been rising steadily over the past 20 years. In years with severe storms, such as last year's Superstorm Sandy, that figure can rise to anywhere from $40 to $75 billion. The White House report says spending to make the grid stronger and more flexible will save the economy billions. Thunderstorms, hurricanes, blizzards, and other extreme weather caused 58% of all power outages since 2002 and 87% of outages affecting 50,000 or more customers. Only 58%, really. Didn't notice that number the first time through. You thought it would be more. Time now for news around town. Back locally, our local university will be performing new studies into osteoarthritis as the National Institute of Health is giving UNC a $5.6 million grant to build a multidisciplinary clinical research center. With arthritis being the number one cause of disability among the elderly, the center will study the causes of arthritis, as well as study osteoporosis, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and others. The center already has two research studies, one looking at ways to improve the quality of life for those with knee or hip osteoarthritis, and others looking at the risk factors for ACL damage in military cadets. Elsewhere, Hillsborough utility crews are installing a new water line to improve your water service inside the town. That could affect traffic, though. The work can possibly close lanes between Mayo Street and Patriots Point Drive, so be on the lookout for that. Utilities say the project can take 6 to 8 months to complete. Chapel Hill, meanwhile, is holding an information session next week, Monday, August 26th, on the proposed changes to land use regulations in the Ephesus Church Road, Fordham Boulevard area. Changes to the area were proposed as part of the Chapel Hill 2020 plan due to the vacant and underdeveloped sites in the area. Ephesus Church Road and Fordham Boulevard, both also along transit corridors. That information session will be at 7 p.m. on Monday of next week, August 26th, in Room B of the Chapel Hill Public Library. Lee Einsweiler of Code Studio will explain the regulatory changes. You can get all those stories again by viewing the News Around Town page on our website, chapelboro.com. And speaking of chapelboro.com, WCHL's Rand Northam joins us now in the studio to tell us what's new on the website today. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Aaron. Well, we've got a lot of great stuff. It's only Monday, but lots of great things going on Chapelboro.
It feels like Wednesday already, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And yeah, it's incredible.
Ron's not here and everything just gets busier.
That's very true. A new photo gallery just went up today, actually, from the Rafi Crop Hop, the Rural Advancement Foundation International. I'd like to call it Rafi all the time as well.
Yes.
That Rafi had a great, fun get-together this weekend. Susan caught all of the action. You can check that photo gallery out on our website, chapelboro.com.
Now that you've said Rafi, I'm going to have Down by the Bay in my head for the entire rest of the day.
Nice, yes, definitely. Well, last week I had a great conversation with Jeff Danner, and nice to fill in for you on the afternoon evening news, which I'll be continuing this week
as
well. We talked about some nasty oil fields up in Canada. Well, this week, Jeff Danner said he wanted to make it a little lighter. He said,
He says that a lot.
Well, he's talking about butterflies today.
Okay.
So he is lightening it up a little
All
bit.
Right.
He has a new column up in his science, his Common Science blog. A beautiful photo up of the Buckeye butterfly and caterpillars and their effect on our environment with some tips for your garden in relation to those creatures.
All right.
So he's going to lighten it up for at least a week. We'll see what he does again next week. Tune in to the afternoon news today. We'll talk to Jeff Danner today as well. Jordan Rogers was a celebrity taste test panel. He was on the panel at the Carolina Brewery this weekend, and it's Build a Burger Competition. He has a review up of the whole ordeal and how the brewery event was a great community event and not just a marketing stunt.
And by the way, that word ordeal is his word. I don't know why you would call Build a Burger Competition taste tester as an ordeal. But that's Jordan for you.
That's a fair point. He's back there listening to us right now,
yeah.
I'm sure. And Brian Aloisi, he's a news intern, has a review up from Weavestock. So stepping outside of the news and heading over to the opinion side of things for one story. He's went out to Weaver Street Market and He was able to check out the Weave stock, so you'll want to check his view out on that as well. And again, only Monday, and that's just a iota of what we have on our website right now, chapelboro.com. You can check out all of our news and sports columns and much, much more by visiting our website, chapelboro.com, with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
All right, Rand Northam, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, chapelboro.com, more of what you live here for, again, instantly live streaming as well. 7:41 is the time. We've got the commentators coming up in just a minute after this quick break.
If you're looking for the kind of primary care you deserve, join the all-new Duke Integrative Primary Care Practice. For a modest annual fee, you will have expert physicians who give you all the time you need to discuss all the health concerns you have, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Duke Integrative Primary Care, transforming your health and your life. Only minutes from Chapel Hill, open to all and now accepting insurance.
When you or your folks are downsizing, you need a place you can trust to sell valuable items such as sterling flatware, tea sets, gold jewelry, coins, watches, and more. Jewel Recycle is the place to sell these items in Chapel Hill, located inside University Mall between Chick-fil-A and Engravables. Selling your items to Jewel Recycle is fast and easy. You can walk in without an appointment and walk out with cash in hand. There's never any pressure. Selling gold or silver, visit Jewel Recycle in University Mall.
For years, the brokers at Weaver Street Realty were known as the Muddy Boots Land Team. They still call themselves that. They can read surveys. They know septics. They know wells. Whether it's an in-town lot or a 100-acre tract, they will put on their muddy boots and walk land with you. Through an unmatched level of expertise and service, the Weaver Street Team has earned customers for life through repeat business and referrals. They listen with compassion and act with confidence. Stop by on Main Street in Carrboro or check them out at WeaverStreetRealty.com.
Hi, I'm John Hinkle, owner of Move It, Be Fit Personal Training in Durham. Honesty, integrity, motivation, accountability, and success are all phrases you may not expect to hear from a lot of personal trainers. At Move It, Be Fit, we focus on each of these principles daily with our clients. If you have health, fitness, and lifestyle goals that you would like to achieve with a satisfaction guarantee, then give us a call today to set up a free consultation at 919-210-4008 or visit us online at MoveItBeFit.com.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Matt Hughes. In North Carolina, we're at a crossroads. Our state's legislature has decided to not invest in education. Our biggest selling point to the rest of the world to create jobs and prosperity here while investing in our people. The latest budget dismantles public education in North Carolina by spending millions of public dollars to pay for a voucher scheme, cuts nearly $500 million from public education over the course of 2 years, fires thousands of teachers and teachers' assistants, takes away career status, also known as tenure, from teachers, and 10,000 students will stand to lose financial aid to the UNC system and the community colleges. Not to mention the continued elimination of the North Carolina Teaching Fellows Program, which recruited the best and brightest students to become the most effective teachers in our state's classrooms. And it's not just about the cuts in education, but the divestment in those who will educate our children. An educational theorist, Ken Robinson, said, "There's no system in the world or any school in the country that is better than its teachers. Teachers are the lifeblood of the success of our schools. What incentive is there for new and young teachers to enter the classroom? Your teacher currently is paid $30,800, and there have been virtually no pay increases since 2008, thereby ensuring North Carolina is close to last in teacher pay. New teachers with a master's degree will not receive a pay increase starting in 2014. That's after they took out thousands of dollars in student loans to become a licensed, highly qualified teacher with the hope of earning a little extra pay. Not to mention that some districts have cut back their local salary supplement. In education, it's not always about money. It's about the resources and support available to teachers to carry out their mission. It's about the ability of teachers to have individualized lesson plans for students who need it. It's about our willingness to not only invest in our students, but our teachers as well. We cannot put students first if we put our teachers last, because we will fail to lure the best and brightest into the classroom to mold, prepare, and guide the minds of our future." This is Matt Hughes.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues. On 97.9 FM, WCHL. What you're saying on the street. Presented by ISIS IT.
what you're saying on the street.
I'm Michael Papich. A new study finds that North Carolina has the least amount of access to high-speed internet in the nation. We hit the streets to find out what you think.
Susan Evans, Chapel Hill. I think that they should try to improve that.
Bill, Chapel Hill. I'm just really surprised at that because North Carolina is a pretty big state and a lot of people, so I'm surprised.
My name is Jean Lemkow from Chapel Hill. Well, I think that's unfortunate, and I would be interested in whatever public policies are making that the case.
Christine in Durham. I had no idea, but I'm not surprised, I guess. Some of the rural areas, probably very difficult to get access. It's unfortunate. I don't know what the correct way of resolving that is.
What do you think about only 17% of North Carolinians having access to high-speed internet?
Sherry Duncan, Leesburg.
I guess I am surprised. I would be very surprised to know that.
Jillian, and I live in Chapel Hill. I would not think that. We have some, you know, pretty metropolitan areas and some pretty big cities and lots of universities here. Kind of shocking, actually. Last is pretty shocking.
My name is Rodolfo Galvin. I live in Durham. I think it sucks because, you know, a lot of the stuff that's out on the internet, to put out job applications, you need to go on the internet. There's a lot of useful things that are on the internet that a lot of people don't have access to, and it's a shame that the statistics are that low for this state.
I live in Chapel Hill. My name's Don Rourke. I think it probably bothers younger people. Older people, not as much. We're not as much of a hurry as younger people. I get the internet as well as I want to.
That's what you're saying on the street. On 97.9 FM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. What You're Saying on the Street, presented by ISIS IT. Managed IT solutions to fit your needs. Find out how they can save you money at igotfixed.com.
Orthopedic injuries can make even the smallest movements difficult. That's why UNC Orthopedics has made it even easier to get the care you need. Many of our services are located in a convenient facility on Highway 54 in Chapel Hill. The same exceptional care is available in sports medicine, total joints, bone health, orthopedic prompt care, and our fragility fracture program. For information, visit uncortho.org.
Moe's Bottle Shop is all about discovery. We've got your go-to favorites, but you've got to believe Moe's knows of at least three other brews that will blow your mind. American craft beer is entering a new era, and we're out front. You can get at Moe's what you can't get anywhere else. Hundreds of different 12-ounce single beers for your six-pack pleasure. Go to mosbottleshop.com to find out who we are, where we are, what we do, and how it works. Moe's Bottle Shop in Hillsboro.
Hi, I'm John Hinkle, owner of Move It, Be Fit Personal Training in Durham. Honesty, integrity, motivation, accountability, and success are all phrases you may not expect to hear from a lot of personal trainers. At Move It, Be Fit, we focus on each of these principles daily with our clients. If you have health, fitness, and lifestyle goals that you would like to achieve with a satisfaction guarantee, then give us a call today to set up a free consultation at 919-210-4008 or visit us online at moveitbefit.com.
This traffic report is brought to you by Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, immersed in the East 54 community, where you can book your private dining party from 10 to 300 people in one of five different private dining rooms. Tobacco Road Sports Cafe at East 54 Shopping Center. Now with traffic, here's Rand Northam.
Thank you, Aaron. We had a great week last week, no traffic problems, and we're starting off this week as well. A little bit of a slowdown on 15501 southbound, just some delays as far as probably traffic lights and people just trying to get to work, so nothing major, no accidents right now. I-40 moving smoothly and elsewhere. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the morning, be sure to give us a call, and you can call us all throughout the day, 919-967-8363. You can also tweet us at WCHL, and that's how you become a WCHL Road Warrior. We ask, as always, though, that you do that safely.
All right. Thank you so much, Ren.
Thank you.
And time now for your weather report. This one brought to you by Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar, one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant, a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. Right now, 72 degrees in Chapel Hill, Carborough, 71 in Hillsboro. We've had a slight change in the temperature. Temperature will get up to around 90 degrees today, though, so it will pick up soon. Partly sunny skies for the day, but we will have clouds moving in later this afternoon. 30% chance of showers later in the day. A thunderstorm possible in the late afternoon or early evening hours, so keep your eyes out for that. Overnight lows tonight in the lower 70s with that 30% chance of rain continuing. And then tomorrow we will continue the week with mostly cloudy skies, 60% chance of rain throughout the day with thunderstorms likely in the afternoon and highs in the upper 80s. Well, it is that time of the day, time for Wayne Pond's Word of the Day, and joining us now via the magic of the telephone is the man himself, Dr. Wayne Pond. Wayne, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Aaron, I tell you, I've been up for hours working on the Word of the Day.
Uh-oh.
It's been kind of quiet around here, but I have to tell you, pal, listening to you on the radio leaves me just breathless. You are a man on a mission.
Well,
you know where you're headed, and there ain't nothing stopping you.
I am headed to 9 o'clock, where between now and then, we got to get all the news in twice.
All right. Well, forgive the personal intrusion there. Here you go. The word of the day. I got a dandy for you, Aaron. The
good
word of the day is sink. That is not, I repeat, S-I-N-K.
Uh-huh.
This is sink, as in C. C as in cat.
Ooh.
C-I-N-Q-U-E. C-I-N-Q-U-E.
Mm.
Sink. Now, I don't know. There's probably some snooty French major on campus who says, ah, mais oui. Sink. Sink.
Sink. That is sink with a U and the E. That's five in French, and the person is cheating at Scrabble.
Well, you are. Listen, man, you are hot on the trail of the definition here. According to the wordsmith, the word sink or sink means it's the five, it's the number on the die or the dice. So, Congratulations. I'd say you were more than halfway there. You win the Mercedes.
All right. Oh, there's a Mercedes?
Yeah, well, that's what Ron told me.
Oh, wow. I've only been away for 2 weeks, and now there's a Mercedes and everything. This is great.
All right. C-I-N-Q-U-E, sink, or if you prefer, funk.
All right.
The five on dice, or A or Z die. Take your pick if you want to really split some hairs there, all right?
All right, sounds good.
Okay, pal, there's your word of the day. Have a good one. I will talk to you in the morning. Let me go back and put on my breathing apparatus and we'll listen to you some more.
I'll give you a minute to do that.
Yeah, be good. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. The word again is sink or sank. It's a noun, C-I-N-Q-U-E, the number five on a pair of dice. If you can remember the word, the spelling, and the definition, give us a call. We'll give you a chance next hour to call in and give us the word, the spelling, and the definition. You will win a $10 gift card to Cruisers. Wayne Pond's Word of the Day brought to you by Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else? It's time now for the clean joke of the day, and for that, we turn to Ron Stutz.
97.9 FM and WCHL. Time now for the clean joke of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Lauren Stafford.
Thank you. No standing ovations needed.
Oh, sorry.
Don't get up.
I get all excited when you come in.
I'm here all week.
Yeah. Well, tell us a good joke, would you?
I have a good joke.
Just launch right into it, and let's hope I can withstand the sheer joy of all of it.
All right. Well, it's a blonde joke, and because I'm blonde, I'm allowed to tell it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't have any problem with that.
And I love blonde jokes. I know, you know, there's some people with that. Maybe might be offended, but I think a good blonde joke, there's nothing wrong with that. Always good to be able to poke fun at yourself.
Well, blondes are easy targets.
Because blonde, I know everybody, whether you're blonde or not, has had a blonde moment. We've all done something that we felt a bit silly about.
Or senior moment, or
exactly.
Whatever. Yeah.
Senior moment, blonde moment, exactly.
Lawyer moment, maybe.
All right, so this is ice fishing.
Ice fishing?
Ice fishing.
Okay.
A blonde decides she needs a new hobby for the winter season.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to the bookstore and buys every book she can find on ice fishing.
Okay.
For weeks, she reads and studies, hoping to become an expert. Finally, she decides the time has come for her first ice fishing expedition. She gathers and packs all the tools and equipment she needs for the excursion and heads off. When she gets to the ice, she finds a quiet little area and places her padded stool down. Carefully, she lays out her tools.
Mm-hmm.
Just as she is about to make her first cut into the ice, a booming voice from the sky bellows down, "There are no fish under the ice." Startled, the blonde grabs up all her belongings and moves further along the ice.
Uh-huh.
She pours some hot chocolate from her thermos and starts to cut a new hole. Again, the voice from above bellows, "There are no fish under the ice." Amazed, the blonde isn't sure what to do. This certainly wasn't covered in any of her books. She packs up her gear and moves to the far side of the ice. She takes a few moments to regain her composure, just as she is about to cut a new hole. The voice booms again. There are no fish under the ice.
Wow.
Petrified, the blonde looks skyward and asks, "Is that you, Lord?" "No," the voice boomed back. "This is the manager of the skating rink."
Terrible.
Terrible.
Well, you said she went to the ice. You didn't
exactly.
say where.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Julie McClintock is a former Chapel Hill Town Council member, and these days, most people know her as Chair of the Friends of Bowling Creek. Julie McClintock is today's WTHL Hometown Hero because she cares about our community and cares enough to get involved.
I am proud of Chapel Hill and Orange County and Carver, too, because we're all part of a community here, and creeks run through all of our towns. They're connected in a way that maybe some of our human relationships are connected as well. I'm proud that over the years, Orange County has actually acquired land so that we can have woods to walk in as this area grows so quickly. We have a wonderful stormwater management division in Chapel Hill that we all pay for, but we also are doing great things, planning to protect our creeks, because if we don't protect our creeks, we're not going to have future water supply that will be at all affordable.
Julie McClintock loves living in Chapel Hill because others are involved too.
We're well known for everybody having an opinion, and a lot of people get involved.
She says one reason Chapel Hill is a great place to live is that others before her have planned well.
Back in 1985, we did something called a land use plan. It sounds very dry, but we said, let's get together with Orange County and Carrboro, and we know we're going to grow, so let's try to do it in an orderly way. So we got together, and there were a lot of exciting conversations and negotiations. But as a result, we came out with, this is where the edges of the town are going to be. This is where the rural buffer will be. This is how we're going to operate with each other. So I'm very proud of that. We were forward-thinking in that way. That doesn't mean that everything's perfect. We've got a lot of challenges ahead.
Julie McClintock, we appreciate your community involvement.
I think when I first came to Chapel Hill, I didn't come until 1970, and that may seem a long time ago, but it doesn't to me. I remember listening to WCHL after the political campaigns, and I just sensed that there was such a wealth and tradition here in this community. It was just exciting as a newcomer.
Julie McClintock, formerly an elected official, now working hard to preserve our local resources as a member of Friends of Bowling Creek. She's today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This hour of the Morning News with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
One more quick look at weather brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. Whether you need a new watch battery, an engagement ring, or that custom piece you've been dreaming of, Grimble Jewelers is there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jewelers in the Village Plaza next to Whole Foods. 73 now in Chapel Hill, Carrboro with sunny skies. 71 in Hillsboro. Partly sunny later today with highs around 90. 30% chance of rain mainly in the afternoon. 30% chance of rain tonight as well with lows in the lower 70s.
Uniquely qualified to cover Carolina. 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel
and
station.
And now, CBS News, presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development, where commerce plus social equity